I'll be in Romans chapter 8. How to be led by the Spirit of God is the series we've been looking at. And this is the fifth class in the series. It's a class, you know. So I will endeavor to teach, and I trust that the Holy Spirit will help you understand and to be able to internalize these things. You see this subject? I've said it and I'll say it again. After being born again, I think this is the next subject we all need to learn. We all need to learn this. Because we live in a very dark world. And if you are not guided, if you are not led by the Holy Spirit, then you walk in darkness. And many people in the body of Christ today are walking in darkness. When you listen to them speak, they have no conviction of anything told them by the Holy Spirit. They can tell you what an apostle said online. They can quote a bishop. They can quote their pastor. But what has the Lord said to you personally? And what is he saying to you? Is he leading you? If you are not being led by the Spirit of God, then your salvation carries a question mark behind it. Because the Bible does say very clearly, Romans chapter 8, we are there, and in verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." He didn't say, "For as many as are led by the prophet, by the apostles, by the pastors, by the evangelists, by the teachers." No. Not as many as are led by their brain. Not as many as are led by their friends. Not as many as are led by Google or Siri or AI. Yeah, AI is a blessing, isn't it? But you don't put your life on AI. AI does not know God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life is unique. So unique that no external person can explain it to you, because they were not there when God was putting the plan together. Not even your parents. So a sign of sonship is that you are being led by the Spirit of God. If you are not being led, then you question, am I really a son of God? Am I really? Or I'm just playing religion, playing church. We must grow up to that point where we are led by the Spirit of God. You can confidently say, "I know, sir, I know the Holy Spirit is the one leading me to do this." Of course, life will question you. People will query you. Are you sure? I'm sure. I'm confident, 100%. I had the option of going to Germany. We got married 2010. 2009, my wife and I had gone to the German embassy, 2009, I think around September. And they didn't give us the visa, and they didn't tell us the reason. So, because the Stone Church was expanding, the Berlin, we have a branch in Berlin, Germany, was doing quite well, and they wanted to branch out, they wanted to start a branch. And my name came up as a potential candidate to go and do that task, to go and start another branch. And, I mean, we got married, well, so we did registry 2009, and then we had church wedding 2010. But then, so that visa didn't work out. Then the pastor of our church in Berlin, Germany, Pastor Moyojo, came to Nigeria the following year for Dunamis, and a meeting was set up. Myself, himself, and the lead pastor in the lead pastor's office. And I was asked, so now he knew why they didn't give us when we went to the embassy. Because we went to the embassy, we were interviewed. Largely, I spoke, and trust me, I had words to say. I wasn't short of words, so I didn't know why they didn't give us the visa. So he came and said they knew why. And I think the error was from their end and not from us. So I was asked the question, now everything has been sorted. We have all the papers. We have everything that you need. And if you go now, you and your wife, you'll be granted the visa. But do you still want to come? Now, between the space of that 1 year, a lot had changed in my life. A lot had changed in my walk with God. And somehow, I didn't have the inward witness to go to Germany. Some people were back. I didn't have the inward witness to go to Germany. And, you know, the pastor said, are you sure? Because everything is now fine. We understand whatever happened last year has been fixed. Now everything is ready. The people are even willing, you know, to have you. Everything. And, of course, if you look at Germany and look at Nigeria, you don't want to live in Nigeria. Because Germany has all the, I mean, talk about tech. Everything is there. Berlin particularly. Oh, come on now. Then we're going to branch out. I think the branch was going to be in Hamburg. Hamburg has a seaport. So there's a lot of commercial activities going on there. You know, ships coming from different countries, bringing stuff. And then ships leaving Germany for other countries and all of that. So all of that was going on. So you would have a lot of traffic, people coming in, a lot of international people as well. So it would be a good place to do evangelism, to have a church. And then you have a lot of international people in your church, and it's going to grow. I mean, all the options look very good. Very, very fantastic. And they asked me again, are you sure you don't want to go to Germany? Are you? We didn't have a child at the time. We just were newly married. And one of the benefits would be that we'll start making babies when we get to Germany, and they'll be German citizens. And they'll have the German passport. Right? And then they can go all over the world with their German passports and etc., etc. A lot of benefits, you know, to have your children abroad. And when I was growing up as a teenager in Mokola, one of the things that we used to joke about, myself and my friends, was that there were three things that were sinful, that were sins, actually. Number one, it was a sin. It would be a sin in our future to not make it in life, to not have money. That would be a sin. Number two, do I remember number two? But I remember number three. Number three, that would be a sin, is for you to not have your children born overseas. They must be citizens. If they are not citizens, it's a sin. Today they are citizens, aren't they? They are citizens of Nigeria. But you know, when we're talking about citizens, anytime back then, citizen, it must be British or American, right? Citizen, or somewhere abroad, yeah? Citizen. But it's like Nigerians. You are just Nigerians. We're not citizens. So now the opportunity presented itself before me. I wasn't going to spend my money. The church was going to foot the bill to move my family to Germany. And they already drew out the contract. I knew how much I'll be earning every week. And everything, I mean everything. But in my spirit. At the same time, the youth church was going through a transition. So leadership was changing. I was being asked to step up to become the substantive pastor from being an associate pastor of the church. And I saw potential. I saw growth in this church. Even though at a particular Bible study during that time, we were 11 in number. 10 brothers, one sister. I mean, it's now that things are changing. Back in the day, when we just started out as expression house, we always had more brothers in attendance than sisters. And I used to pray, Lord, bring more sisters, though, because a time will come that these guys will start fighting. Because where there is scarcity now, demand will be more than supply. You know what I mean? Because somebody, now 3 brothers will be receiving a sister. I don't want that to happen. Let there be even distribution. I mean, it was a major, major prayer for me. You wouldn't believe it. We'll look at attendance. I mean, imagine 10 guys in a service and only one lady. And the one lady was an usher. But I saw potential. Some Sunday services, we were
17, 18, 21. When we really had a full house, we had 40. Because of the transition, a lot of people left, just didn't like my face. That's fine. So it was like we're starting from the scratch. Now, how do you choose the option of starting from the scratch and overseas? Where even though you are going to start from the scratch, but you have a landing pad. There is a house, that's accommodation. There is a building that you don't need to believe God for. It's paid for. There are equipment and some people willing to start with you over there. And potential business that you could be doing, because I would not be in church every day. As a pastor, they drew my schedule. I'll preach in church on Sunday. I'll do counseling on Tuesday, Bible study on Wednesday or Thursday. You know, I had like 3-4 days to work. The other 3 days were for myself, so I could go to the German town and do business and send some containers home and make money and become a millionaire in 1 year. But in my spirit, I had a check. My father in the Lord was looking at me like this across the table. Fred, are you sure you don't want this anymore? You wanted it last year. I said, sir, I'd rather stay here. I believe that God is going to do something with the youth church, and I don't want to miss out on what God is going to do. Inward witness. The youth church didn't look anything like this that time. It didn't look anything like... We were there, Potter's Planet, first floor. The keyboard was so bad that the guy playing it would have to help it with a broomstick. If he didn't put the broomstick or the cover of a pen, that guy would not play. And we were not even sure of our membership. We had, you know, sometimes it was 21 and a half members, because there was a half human being, half, that, I mean, you couldn't tell the day he would come, the day he would not come. I had a guy like that. Pastor, when you see me, you see me. That's it. So he would come, and then another 6 months, he would show up. You are back in town? Yes, Pastor. Another 6 months off. And then he would come. So he was a half brother. You couldn't really count on him. How do you leave certainty over there for uncertainty here? We're in a world where you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Ask me, 15 years down the line or 14 years down the line, after making that decision in 2010, do I have any regrets making that decision? No, I don't have any regret, because now, we now even have an Expression House branch in Berlin, Germany. Without me having to be there physically. I mean, you need to see when those guys are having what we call encounter night, when they're having their prayer as well. I'm on the platform with their pastors. We must be led by the Spirit of God. Be where God wants you to be, not where money is beckoning on you. It may offer you money at the beginning, but nobody guarantees that money will continue. In the choice also of a life partner, don't remove money, ladies. Remove money from your list. I understand nobody wants to suffer. Yeah, but if you now put everything on, I don't want to suffer. Number one, I don't want to suffer at all. You will likely, most likely, miss it. You don't understand that you will enjoy abundance when you learn to build with someone from the scratch. The guy doesn't have much, and you guys are friends, and you read the Bible together, you challenge each other, you pray, and then you want to know his business plans. He wants to know your plans as well, because both of us must be growing. And then eventually you get married, very, very low key in terms of starting out your life. The first day you bring in your smart screen, both of you are rejoicing and dancing. Thank God for this. You bring in your brand new sofa. You are thanking God and rejoicing. You buy your first car together, the first car that you both share. A lot of rejoicing in it. The days of brand new cars, of having 4 or 5 in the garage are coming. Those days, you would then be able to fall back on the memory of the little beginning where you started from, and then you'll be able to thank God for where you are right now. See, if you walk into someone's life who is already made, he can tell you, please, you can't change that channel. Please, and the way pressing that remote, I'm not used to that kind of thing. It's a soft touch, baby. I knew how much I bought it. When your husband is telling you, I knew how much I bought that thing. I bought it before you came. What's going to be your response? Sorry, Baba on the TV. Abi? But if you guys believe God together to have that thing, can he say that to you? I'm not saying everybody will start like that. But I'm saying there's a lot of joy in that. Be led by the Spirit of God. If God leads you, leads him, and both of you are well okay, financially well off when you start, fine. But don't make that the yardstick, number one. How rich was David when he first married his first wife? He had all the money? In fact, when he met Abigail, the wife of Nabal, that later became his wife, he was a fugitive. He was homeless. He himself and his guys turned themselves to security for Nabal to help guard his farm and his animals. And they were so hungry one day, there was no food. David didn't have food. With all his guys, they sent a message to Nabal, send us food. We've been providing security for your property. Can you send us food? And Nabal said, who is David? Send you food. Did I send you a message? Did I ask you to keep my stuff? Get out, man. And they sent the word back to David. David said, I swear, by this time tomorrow, if his head is still on his neck, call me a bastard. Trust David. He was ready for war. And you know, a hungry man is an angry man. He was coming with hunger and anger. The combination was terrible. Now, someone already told the wife, Abigail. Abigail was a smart lady. And I wish every woman would be that smart. When your husband commits an error, you better go and find out how to fix it. The two of you should not sleep and put your head in the same place. One of the servants told Abigail, you know what Abigail did? Oh yeah, you that you told me, go and kill 2 animals right now. Make barbecue, make this, make that. Let's get butter, get bread, get wine. It was a party. She prepared food, plenty. She didn't tell the husband. And she told the guys, oh yeah, let's ride on the camel. Took her. David was coming with fury. Abigail was running to meet him. And they met on the way. Abigail quickly jumped down from her camel. And she went on her knees and began to talk to David and began to appeal. She talked so much, she said, my Lord, he's a stupid man. For as his name is, so is he. Because the meaning of Nabal is stupid. I'm sure David must have looked at her and said, why also did you marry a stupid man? Oh, she spoke a lot of words. And she spoke prophetically and said to David, we know that you are the next king. When the Lord your God will have made you the king and put you in your position, let it not be that you remember today that you shed blood by your own hands. Don't fight. Let God fight for you. He said, and if there is a man, we know there is a man running after you that wants to take your life, and that's Saul. She said, but the life of my Lord is in the bundle of life with the Lord God. Who taught this woman? There is something called the bundle of life, and your life is in that bundle of life, which is with the Lord. When David heard those things, and then she begged and said, may it please my Lord to accept this gift from me. Baba saw the food. Say, oh, mom, if not for you. So he collected it and blessed her and then turned back. When she got back home, she told the husband, who was throwing a party. He was throwing a party. David would have wiped him out with all the people at the party. Be careful the kind of party you attend. David planned that no man would survive in the household of Nabal. Imagine he came and he met a party. He would not be killing everybody until he got. Now, when the wife told him what would have happened to him, the Bible says his heart died in him. He stopped breathing. He went into coma. The wine had cleared from his eyes. And then he died by himself. And after he died, David comforted the woman. Praise God. She needed comfort. Why is your hallelujah loud in that area? You people like, you like marriage. You will marry right in Jesus' name. I really am praying for you guys. You will marry right. Male and female, you will marry right in Jesus' name. Now, we must be led by the Spirit of God. I started with my own story to let you know that what I'm teaching you is not just giving you theories of the Bible. I want to use real-life, practical experiences. Because if you look at your life also, each of you is being led by the Spirit of God. But sometimes you are not paying attention, so you don't think or you don't know it's the Spirit of God. Like this inward witness, for example. Let's go back to Romans 8. Many of us have had inward witness, but we didn't even know it was inward witness. We just thought, maybe it was me or it was something. You know, like something said. I want you to graduate from the phrase, something said. It's an insult to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit said something to you and you call him something. I really didn't know, but something said to me, grow up! There is something that makes me come into your presence. Something makes you come. So something can make you leave. I think it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us, encourages us, convicts the world of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness, but then encourages us, comforts us, is our standby, our helper, and who always wants us to fellowship in the presence of God. I don't think it's something. I think it's someone. Romans chapter 8. Now we go to verse 14 again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received. There's sound online for the people that are watching and listening. Even though this one is coming off and going, but we receive brand new equipment in Jesus' name. For, let's just keep confessing that every time. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have the spirit of adoption. Somebody say, I have the spirit of adoption. I have been adopted into the family of God. I am a child of the Most High God. Please let that register in your spirit, that you are a child of the Most High God. Wherever you are in this world, whatever is going on around you, remind yourself, I am a child of the Most High God. I'm not going to be wasted like other people. I'm not going to be destroyed like other people. I am a child of the Most High God. Let me tell you, if something goes wrong in the school, let's assume you are a parent and they give you a call from your child's school and they say something has gone wrong, there's something crazy going on and all the parents are being asked to come and pick up their children. This is an emergency. You wouldn't say, oh, wait up, I'm busy right now. What? That's your child they're talking about. You fly there, right? Now, when you get to the school, there is commotion all over the place. Who will you be looking for? No. You'll be looking for your neighbor's son first. And please, where is the... they say, your son? No. The son of my younger sister. Not even that one. You look for your own child first. If parents will go to that level to rescue their children from danger, how much do you think God cares about us? Come and talk to me now. We have the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let that settle in you. Now, it says the spirit himself, actually, KJV says itself, but it's not an it, it's a him. The spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. It bears witness. That thing is called inward witness. So in the New Testament, there are three major ways that God leads us as his children. Three major ways that God leads the church. Number one, which is what we've been talking about since last week, is the inward witness. Somebody said the inward witness. There is a witness in your spirit. It's not a voice. So this is not you hearing a voice. This is you having a light in your spirit turned on. There's a green light when it is the right thing to do. Or there's a red light when, that's not the way to go. One of the ways to help yourself activate this is to pray a lot in the Holy Spirit. Especially when there is an issue. And you don't know, Lord, do I go right or do I go left? I'm torn between making a decision. And I have two options. I need to make a decision. Lord, do I go right or do I go left? Now, let me suggest to you. Separate yourself from the noise around you. Do this regularly. Maybe once a week. Take some time out, an hour or two. Seek a quiet place. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And then listen. Watch for the witness. Lord, are you saying I should go? Or are you saying I should not go? Let me tell you. If you would be led by that inward witness, which is the primary way that the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, is leading the church now in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus said to Papa Kenneth Hagin, Dad Hagin, he said, if you would follow the inward witness, I will make you rich. Now, not only rich, I'll make you prosperous. You'll be healthy. You'll be safe from evil. When everybody is running towards destruction, the inward witness will trigger off your alarm and you say, oh, okay, that's not the way to go. This is the way to go. Are you getting what I'm saying? The inward witness is real. The inward witness is real. The inward witness is real. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. Now, when you are waiting on God, especially for a decision that you want to make, you want to take a decision and you are not too sure, please don't be in a hurry. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, should I go to UI or Unilag? Should I? I didn't hear anything. Monini. UI lag. La 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 la. Don't gamble with your life. Your life is important. We all have one life, one chance. This one chance that we have. Nobody has another chance of this same life again. After this one is eternity. Are you with me, church? Yes, sir. Babatunde is a lie. Yeyetunde is a scam. Babajide, scam. Yejide, we used to have a Yejide here. She's in Canada now. I said, Yejide is a scam. Pastor now. Well, our parents didn't know better at that time. But in this generation, will anybody give birth to a child and you name the child Babajide? Baba Olojide. That Baba was a farmer. This one now is an IT guy. He's a tech guy. He's a tech guru. Can I have an amen? Now, when you are waiting on the Lord, you do not get in a hurry. Go to Isaiah 28. Let me show you a few scriptures. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Don't gamble. Don't do monini, 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 monini. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth shall not make haste. Don't be in a hurry. When you are trying to make a decision and you're waiting on God and you're praying in the Holy Ghost, wait on him. Be still and know that he is God. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Stop giving God timelines. God, if you don't speak to me by Sunday, I will do whatever I like by Monday. Sometimes people are trusting God for a life partner. Especially you're a lady and you feel, your age is advanced. And I had a friend like that who threatened God. God, if you don't do it this year, next year I will marry an Alaji. She was threatening God. Can anybody threaten God? I'm telling you, God will not do it. And he'll be looking at you. Go ahead, do your worst. And then you go ahead and marry an Elijah. Whatever comes, you face it. Praise God, amen. I'm not saying allergies are bad people. I'm just saying, is that God's plan for your life? Every time that we are in a hurry, we will get out of the will of God. We will move over into the flesh. Satan is an expert in hurrying us up. He will tell you, hurry, hurry, do it now, do it now. Take advantage of it now. Register now, do it now. Like we live in that kind of world. Grab your own copy now. When it comes to the things of God, you want to listen. You want to be sure. God, are you saying I should go there? After asking, and then you feel there is this peace that is leading you, like you should go there, you still wait. Lord, I really want to be sure. You check and check and check and check and check. He that believeth will not make haste. If you truly believe God is leading you, you won't make haste. And let me tell you something. Our walk with God is the walk of faith. When we are being led by God, it's a journey of faith. And in most places in the Bible where you see faith, check somewhere around the corner, you will see patience. Let me show you. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. When you are walking by faith, your faith is in one pocket, your patience must be in the other pocket. Hebrews 6:12. What does it say? That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How do you inherit the promises of God? By faith and patience. Abraham is an example. Abraham, our model of faith, our father of faith. You can use him for an example. He said, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. That's how to obtain any promise from God. A life partner, yeah, God has promised that none of us shall lack our mate. Maybe you haven't seen that in the Bible. Let me show you. I'm not going to turn my Bible. Media, can you give me Isaiah 34 verse 16? And this is good for everybody. Isaiah 34 verse 16, quickly. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. It said, no one of these shall fail. Talking about the promises of God. No promise from God shall fail. Whether it's healing, protection, provision, life partner, academic advancement, whatever it is that you want. Now, he said, none shall want her mate. None. For my mouth it has spoken, or it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them. Whatever the mouth of the Lord speaks, his spirit gathers. The Holy Spirit is the executor of the plans of God on the earth. When the Father says anything through the Son, that is, it is Jesus who says whatever the Father is saying, the Holy Spirit is the one that carries it out. So this promise is there. But the Bible says it was after Abraham endured patiently, then he obtained the promise. Nothing good comes in a hurry. Be careful, those of you that are into investments. Investment opportunities that say, holy bolly, hurry scurry. Put your money now, in 3 days, you have 90% return, ROI. Easy comes, easy goes. You see all of those people that promise to make you rich overnight. Be careful. Anything overnight success, overnight. A lot of those things that God does, he does them over time. Not overnight, over time. God could have created the whole world, including man, in one microsecond or millisecond. He has all the power. Why did he do it gradually? He was teaching us process. And God said, light be, and light was. And in the evening, and God saw that it was good.
Day two, and then he spoke to the firmament. Day three, he spoke to the earth. Day four. And why was he doing all of that? Why couldn't he say, light, firmament, fish, water, land, give up everything, man, get out. No.
He could have spoken us into being.
If God said, man would be. Because the word of God can never fail. Did you hear what I said?
I love God that he doesn't make mistakes. Because sometimes we annoy God with our lifestyle. If God gets angry and he said, God, you will just see a human being turn to go straight.
Because if God says anything, that thing must be.
Are you getting what I'm saying? If God comes to your room on a Monday night, this is Thursday night, he comes to your room Thursday night and says, hey, good morning, it's Monday morning. You will never have the opportunity to correct God. No, Lord, it's Thursday night. I just returned from Bible study. Pastor Fred taught Bible study, taught fantastically tonight. Praise God, amen. It's Thursday night, Lord. I understand you're coming from heaven. Maybe it's Monday over there. No, you will never have that opportunity to correct God. I'm telling you, the moment God says, hey, good morning, it's Monday morning, you know what's going to happen? The solar system will adjust itself, will recalibrate, and it's going to be Monday morning. When did it become morning? The moment God said Monday morning. Can you take God that seriously? That when God looks at you and says, you are healed, believe you are healed. When did I get healed? The moment God said so. I'm a blessed man. It's not a question of what I have in my bank account. It's not a question of what I wear, what I drive, where I live. I'm blessed. Why? Because God said so. See what he said to Abraham. Blessing, I will bless you. Surely, multiplying, I will multiply thee. When it was just one man. Today, not only the Jewish nation are Abraham's seed, anybody in any part of the world that becomes born again, automatically, according to Galatians 3:29, becomes Abraham's seed. Abraham is just having children all over the world. In Arab nations, as people are turning to Christ in Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, they're having underground churches. We have a church, the Stone Church in Kuwait. As people are coming to Christ, guess what is happening? They are becoming Abraham's children. Abraham's children. Abraham's seed. Abraham's seed. When we get to heaven, we are going to see Father Abraham. Apart from seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see Father Abraham. Because he put it in his word, Galatians 3:29. If anybody be Christ, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. But when God spoke that promise, Abraham was one man struggling to have a child. God doesn't deal with you based on your present circumstances. God looks at your future and calls you by your future. Did you get what I said tonight? So let nobody belittle you because of what you are going through right now, because of where you are right now. You are blessed. You are highly favored. You are a child of the Most High God. And so you should be led by the Spirit of God. Don't be led by the world. Be led by the Word of God. Be led by the Spirit of God. Be led by the inward witness. Until I have a witness, sir. I'm sorry, I'm not doing that business. Very nice proposal. Very nice fringe benefit. But please give me some time. Because he that believes will not make haste. Did you hear what I said tonight? Yes, and the Bible shows us that Abraham endured patiently, then he obtained the promise. Anywhere you see faith, I'm telling you, somewhere around the corner, you are going to see patience. So don't jump abroad because somebody is giving you an opportunity to have a visa. And he said, have you found out from God that's what he wants you to do? That's where he wants you to go. Have you found out? Some people believe their future is abroad. So if they don't get there, they don't believe they can become anything. And they have gone there now stranded. People that should be doing better in Nigeria. And some are here, they should be there. And when the moment they leave, they start doing well. What is important? Listen, God called Abraham, Genesis 12. God said, Abraham, get out of your father's country. That's Japa. In the time of Isaac, Genesis 26, there was a famine in the land. And Isaac wanted to japa. God said, Isaac, stay there. Don't go anywhere. Now, in fact, sow your seed in the time of famine. Nobody sows seed. You keep your seed. You manage it with your family. Isaac sowed it in the time of famine. When he should be thinking of self-preservation, he sowed the seed. And in the same year, the Bible says, he reaped 100-fold. Can you give me that scripture? He reaped 100-fold. He received in the same year hundredfold of every seed, hundredfold. Only God can make that happen. Ask any farmer, you don't sow something and then you reap 100. Out of a genie. You want to steal it? But because this was God's instruction, he was being led by the Spirit of God. Now, and the Lord did what? Barakad him. Baraka is the Hebrew word for blessing. That, you see, let us go there. And the Lord blessed him. The Lord barakad him. The Lord empowered him to succeed, to do well. Next verse, please. Next verse. Thank you, media. You're doing well. And the man waxed great because God blessed him. Because he obeyed God. He sowed in the time of famine when he should do self-preservation. God says, go out and evangelize. He said, no, I don't want anybody to slap me on the road. I don't want anybody to rip me. He said, go out and evangelize. No, I don't want anybody to insult me. Self-preservation will kill you at the end of the day. He's a killer. Jesus said, anyone that will lose his life will gain it. But anyone that will preserve his life, forget it. He's going to lose it. Now, the man works great and went forward. You will go forward in Jesus' name. And grew until he became very great. Listen, he waxed great. There is a difference between great and very great. God will take us from great to very great. Yeah. Waxed great, went forward, and grew until he became very great. This was not put together by the Holy Ghost for lack of words. I hope you know the Holy Ghost doesn't make mistakes. He put it there because the man grew, increased. Every now and then, God did that for him. Now, the next verse. See what happened? For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds in the time of famine. When everybody was complaining, Nigeria is bad, everything. Isaac was increasing. In the time of famine, he was increasing. And for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. I was able to pay them in the time of famine. When there was terrible inflation in the country, people could hardly maintain a decent lifestyle. Purchasing power has reduced. He had a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. When you are envied, don't be bothered. It's a sign that you are above the people that are envying you. A man was sharing that with me yesterday, and that really encouraged me. Because sometimes you look at yourself and say, what do I have that they are envying me? They just don't want to see my face. They just don't like me. I don't know why they criticize me. What do I have? You have something. They feel you are better than them. That's why they are envying you. And they want to cut you into pieces. But they lie. If God protected Isaac, he will protect you. Are you with me? Are you with me, church? God told Isaac, stay. Can you go to the earlier verses of this same chapter, media? Isaiah 26. Can we look at verse 1? Verse 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Can you see? In the days of Abraham, there was a famine. Now, in the days of Isaac, another famine. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Now, next verse. Next verse, please. And the Lord appeared to him and said, go not down into Egypt. Do not japa. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Next verse. Sojourn in this land. Now you pipe low your response. Is that clear? Sojourn in this, because we are not playing here. This is real business. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries in the time of famine. Huh? How do you hear God? And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Yes, next verse. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. The same blessing God gave Abraham, same blessing he gave Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and all of them, David, Fred, praise God. You can put your name there, praise God. If you are born again, the same blessing in you, in your seed, shall all the nations be blessed. You see why the devil fights our children? He fights them because of this promise. Because God said, in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
So Satan always goes after the seed. When you see some guys misbehave and they behave like they have no regard for anybody, it's not them. Many times I see beyond them. I know there's a purpose on that life. And Satan just wants to mess up that guy. If you see some of our ladies, you know, just sleep around, misbehave, go to club. Your parents don't even know you travel, you disappear. There's a promise over your life. There's a promise. So I always tell parents, don't be bothered. Go on your knees and pray. Jesus wants to use that girl. I am telling you. And I've seen God transform people's lives in this church. As they graduate from Potter's Planet to this place, I knew the tendencies that some of them had. But over time, as they settle, there's a turnaround. Because there's a promise over that life. Satan just wants to waste that life. But he's a liar. It's too late. Huh? God has blessed us and nobody can reverse it. Amen? Amen? And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. Next verse, please. Next verse. I'm still going a whole lot of places tonight. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and commandments and my statutes and my laws. Yes, next verse. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, as the Lord said to him. Yes, next verse. And the men of the place asked of... Oh, I don't need this now. Go to the next verse, please. And it came to pass when... Next verse, please. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Yes, this is where I'm going. Then Isaac sold in that land. God told him, don't go. God said to Abraham, leave your father's country. Where Isaac was dwelling, God said, don't leave, stay here. And Isaac sold in that land and received in the same year, when there was famine and complaining all over the place, 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. In the time of Jacob, God said to him, go back to your father's country. Abraham, get out of your father's country. Isaac, stay where you are. Jacob, go back home. Three different generations, three different instructions. That's the way we are in our family. I've seen the pattern. My father did this, so I must do it too. No, you are a child of God. God doesn't have grandchildren. You are as much a child of God as your dad. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. The inward witness. Let me encourage you with this. Because of the issues that we go through sometimes, it's difficult to be sensitive to that inward witness and to be led by the Spirit of God. Because sometimes our challenges are staring us in the face. Or if you have a pain in your body, the pain will make it so difficult for you to hear God. You'll be hearing the pain. Have you ever had pain before? Especially toothache. Anybody? Woohoo! How sweet. Oh my God. You'll be feeling the pain in your brain. Now, the same with mental pain. When you are disturbed, when you are not happy, when you are sad or depressed, you know, I had a moment like this afternoon. I had a moment when I just wasn't happy with certain things going on. And I just tried to catch a nap where I was. It wasn't smooth at all. So I just got up. I said, you know what? Let me talk to God. You must be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. There are times that nobody will be there to do it for you. Do it yourself. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. It will shock you. Same David that killed Goliath. And people were hailing him. They were running after him. This man. This is our man. He's our man. That was in 1 Samuel 17. A few chapters after, the same people that say, Hosanna today, they'll say, crucify him tomorrow. He went out to fight. By the time he got back, they had burnt down Ziklag. The enemies had come to Ziklag where he was living with his mighty men and all of them. And they had taken their wives and children. The terrorists had taken them. They had kidnapped them away. So they came to an empty house. The city burnt, actually. Now, go to verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice. He didn't say voices, because all their voices merged into one. They lifted it up, right? And what did they do? And they were smiling. They wept. David, same David, covenant man,
So there are times in our lives. Let nobody bobo you. There are times in our lives when the reality happens. Some people say, I don't have any time. I don't cry. You can catch me. Okay. Thank God for you, Superman. But if you are really a man, remember that our soul is divided into three parts: mind, will, emotions. We have emotions. David lifted, they lifted their voice and they wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever wept like that before? There's something we used to call maximum shishi. When I was growing up in secondary school, maximum shishi. When somebody, your junior, messes up with them, you beat them. You know when you beat them small, they will fight back, they will talk. That's not maximum. You can beat somebody to a point that the person will not be able to talk again. They can't even abuse you. And then you can, people have also cried. You can cry to a point that there's no more power to weep. Nobody will tell you that time, stop crying. You know when I say, they say stop crying now. And when they say stop crying, you increase the volume. Leave him. When you cry to a point, you'll be asking for water. Please, can I drink water? David and his men got to that point. They had no more. So it even takes power to weep. Have you fasted to a point where you had no energy to fight? To walk around self is a job. You can't greet anybody. How you offer? David got to that point. And David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail. We just spoke about Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite, whom David comforted. If David will not weep because of Ahinoam, he will weep because of Abigail. That lady had something to offer. She had something upstairs. She was smart. She was a wise woman. She was respectful. Knelt down to greet David. David said, "Hey, do you know what his former wife did to him, his ex-wife, the daughter of Saul? Look at the way you made yourself. Michael, the daughter of Saul, said, look at you, the king of Israel. You were jumping up and your boxer shorts were showing. You were like one of the touts in town today. Oh, goodness me. This guy is, oh, you don't know royalty. I'm a princess. My father is Saul. There's a way we behave in the palace. This is not a, it's not a palatial. It's not a royalty kind of behavior. You were just jumping. Oh, my God. How did I marry you?" David said, "Yes, I was jumping in the praise of the God who put me in the position of your father." David had an answer. "My father!" Yes. And let me warn you, the next time you see me praising God, I will do worse. It was boxers you were saying you were embarrassed. You will see singlets. I will jump. I will roll. Am I not doing it before God? That was the only woman the Bible records that went barren. Because in that conversation, God was there. You carry royalty more than God? What's royalty? Who is Saul, your father? Saul, the son of Kish, that they wanted to make king. He ran to hide himself inside foodstuff. Because he felt unqualified. People should learn history. And you should know where you're coming from. When God is blessing you, you know, I see some of our people, because they have small change now, we can't talk to them again. Have you forgotten where you're coming from? You know why I go to Mokola often? I go to Mokola. Sometimes I just take a walk, and I'm thanking God underneath my breath. Lord, you took me from here. When I enter some houses, the kind of things I see, I say, wow, these were my normal back in the day. But I'm wondering, how do you cope living in the same house with goats? I lived in the house with goats. I mean, the goat will urinate in the passage, would defecate them. So you enter our house, you are greeted with the stench of goat urine. Have you ever smelled it before? I mean, we were neighbors. Normal. If you lose guard, the goat will go to your food and eat your food.
Ah, Brother Dixon of blessed memory. That brother put his beans and rice. He just arranged it. He removed stones and he put it out to go and get water to put it in on stone. Before he came back, he met the goat eating the last beans and rice. He carried the goat. He put the goat in the cage and locked him up there. So you would die inside. All kinds of things happened. When I was growing up, we were all begging. Brother Dixon, unless you want to. He waited until the owner came to pay for the rice and beans. Or is it to talk about Brother Julius, who put fish on the roof? You know when you put fish on the roof to sun dry it? And a cat went there to eat the fish. It was Brani. He caught the cat as he was eating the fish. He caught the cat. You know what he did? He killed the cat and turned it to pepper soup. I am telling you, and he shared it in the neighborhood, and people ate. I'm not sure whether I ate or not. The woman that owned that cat, we used to call her Iya Igbajo or something like that. Iya Igbajo, yes. She said, she started going from house to house. Yeso pa musu mi. Yeso pa musu. Eh? Then somebody hinted her that it was Abdul. Abdul was my neighbor. So she came to our house. Abudu, woni wo lo pa musu mi. Iwo ni mo ri loju ferese. Iwo ni mo ri, iwo ni momo. You know what we started calling that woman? Yeso pa musu. So when you want to go and buy something, I said, it was normal in the hood. They would just give you a name straight up. No. They ate the cat. Say the cat ate the fish. Lord have mercy. We used to sing for that Abudu guy. Abudu, 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 for your logo, Mugari. I had a wonderful upbringing. Come back here to the scriptures. some of the things I'm saying are strange to some of you guys. Like, oh, Lord, what's that? Have you eaten snake before? Snake. In our house, we roasted snake. He was fighting all over the fire. Is that a lie? You'll be tired. When he was tired, we chopped it to pieces, threw it inside the big pot, made pepper soup. Dog. Somebody tricked another person's dog into the compound. Hit it on the head. Pepper soup. I heard too. Of course, you can never persuade me now to eat dog with no matter how much amount of money. Mean that I swore, I said, lie, I can never eat all this nonsense. One day, Brother Steven, he made stew with the meat of a cat. No, dog meat. It was dog meat. I had promised all of them. Never. Dog? No. He invited me to his room. Gave me one wrap of, big wrap of fufu. It's not the small one they are selling now. In those days, it used to be big. Big like somebody's head. I finished it. The meat was sweet. I finished it. He said, Akin, I said, you say you've always boasted that you can never eat dog. I said, never. You just ate one now. That was how I became baptized into that thing. Anyways, praise God, amen. I wonder how I survived those days, but by the mercy of God. Now, this is where I'm going. So they took his wives. Now, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Same people that were hailing him as their captain were thinking of stoning their pastor, their captain, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Learn to do this when life becomes unbearable. When life becomes tough. Because if you stay in depression, you will not hear the voice of God. You won't listen to the inward witness.
The devil always wants to keep us in depression. As long as you stay there, it will be difficult for you to hear the voice of God. It will be difficult to be led by the Spirit of God. It will be difficult to know the inward witness because you'll be focused on how heavy you are, how bad things look. Are you with me, church? Learn to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. And because he did this, he made an inquiry before the Lord and he asked God if he should pursue. And the Lord said, pursue, because he will surely overtake them and you will recover all. And he did. And he got his wives back. They got all their wives back, all the children. They got everybody back. The Amalekites were partying hard all Friday. Time for party. They were dancing because of their loot. They were dancing Jaru, DMX, Tupac, Amar Shakur, Notorious B.I.G. You guys don't know who I'm talking about. Things have changed. But those were the guys that we used to groove with back in the day. I mean, there was a groove anywhere. Those were the names. And David and his men went there and did a massacre. And they rescued their wives, their children, their daughters, their sons, and their property, and they went back. Amen. For you to get back whatever the enemy has stolen from you, encourage yourself in the Lord. Find strength within. The Holy Spirit is within you. Say, the Holy Spirit is within me. Say, the kingdom of God is within me. So don't look for strength from the outside. Strength is already on the inside of you. Let me give you two more scriptures and we close tonight. Praise God, amen. Oh, are you telling me 7 o'clock already? You guys give me 6:35 more minutes. Isaiah chapter 30. Media is very generous. I don't know why they keep giving me extra time every time. They did the same thing on Sunday. God bless you guys. Isaiah 30. Now, go to verse 29. Verse 29. Quickly, please. We're wrapping this up. Verse 29. Isaiah 30, verse 29. First of all, go to verse 26. Verse 21 first. Verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. He's talking about the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, go to verse 29. He says, you shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart. You must have gladness of heart. You must come out of depression. Gladness of heart. Have a song. I like to practice this every time to have a particular song bubbling in my spirit. Have a song. Then have gladness of heart. The pain in your body will say, no gladness here. No gladness here. No, you got to have it. You got to engineer it. Because the joy of the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. You are not looking for it from outside. It's in you. Can I hear you say it's in me? Gladness of heart. As when one goeth with the pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel, and the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. You will hear the glorious voice when you have gladness of heart. In depression, you will not hear. In depression, you hear your problems loud and clear. In gladness of heart, you will hear God. Oh, I don't have any money right now, but Father, I praise you. Oh, glory to God, because you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm just so grateful. I'm alive. I have something. The devil said, you don't have anything. You don't have anything. Now you don't have money. You don't have anything. Is it true that when you don't have money, you don't have anything? Come on, talk to me. Yes, do you have life? Yes, sir. Do you have Jesus on the inside of you? Yes, sir. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? Yes, sir. Do you have the salvation of God? Yes, sir. Do you have Zoe? Yes, sir. How can someone now tell you you don't have anything? And you now believe that lie. I don't have anything. Nonsense. Just whipping up emotions. Don't sing those kind of songs. You should not be singing. You are a redeemed, blood-washed, Holy Ghost-birthed child of the Most High God. Tongue-talking, demon-chasing, Bible-quoting, Bible-believing, Bible-doing. Can I have an amen? Amen? You are a miracle walking on two legs going somewhere to happen. You are going somewhere to explode. Can I have an amen? Amen. So I'm just ordinary clay. No, you are not. You are God's very own son. Can you imagine my daughter walking up to me in the morning? Dad, I know I'm not worthy.
I know I'm bad. I'm nothing. Dad, I'm just nothing. How do you think, what's my reaction going to be? Who told you you're nothing? Can you now imagine, flip it. Co, yeah, who is it? It's me. Who is me? Unteluwa, this is where I relate to them. Who is Unteluwa? She will say, your daughter. I'll say, okay, come in. I know who Unteluwa, but I want to know. If it's the brother, co, who is it? Tireniolua. Who is Tireniolua? Your son. Now imagine they walk in and say, we are nothing. Ordinary sand. That's who we are. We are nothing. We are unworthy. We are not fit to come to your presence. See, those songs sound religious, but they are not scriptural. I love it when my children come and they say, Dad, I love you. They want their hug. And I want it too. You think God doesn't want your hug? You think God doesn't want your worship? You think God would not be happy when you tell him, Lord, you know, thank you for redeeming me by the blood of your son. Thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost. Thank you for saving me. You are telling him what he has done. You are not psyching God up. He can't be psyched. You are telling him the truth of what he has done. Guess what? He will raise you. Because, oh, glory to God. The Bible says it dwells in the praises of his people. Did you hear what I said tonight? You will hear the glorious voice. Because you have a gladness of heart. If you skip to the next verse, it says, for through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. The Assyrian will be beaten down through the voice of God. But for you to hear the voice, you must have gladness of heart. Encourage yourself in the Lord. One last scripture for tonight and we go. 1 John 5:13. 1 John, no, we're going to take it from verse 11 to 13. 1 John chapter 5. Can we go there very quickly? I promise that's the last scripture and then we're going to be on our way home tonight. Praise God. Have you been blessed tonight? And this is the record that God has given to us. No, God is about to give to us eternal life. How can somebody give you eternal life and you say you have nothing? Huh? Can God give you eternal life and you say you have nothing? Would that please God? God, you gave me nothing. Are you aware you have eternal life? This is the very life of God that he has put in you, Zoe. He said, this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his son. This life is in Jesus. That's why he that doesn't have Jesus does not have life. He may have money, but doesn't have life. Don't marry an unbeliever. For whatever he is worth in this world, do not, ladies, listen to me. Because you are more susceptible. Don't marry an unbeliever. He's a rich guy. He's gentle. Honestly, he can't hurt a fly. You will see the beast in him when he marries you. He doesn't have the life of Jesus. Marry someone that has the life of Jesus. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. He may have connection but doesn't have life. Because they don't have life. Not you. You are born again. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look at verse 13 where I'm going tonight. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you believe on the name of the Son of God? So he wrote this to you. What did he write to you? That you may know that you have eternal life. You have it right now. You are not going to have it. You already have it. Can I have an amen? Amen. Say, I have eternal life. Come on, this alone can deliver you from any trouble. I have the life of God. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I love this. He said, I wrote this to you. I have written this to you that believe. Then he said that you may believe. So you go from faith to faith. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Yeah, that's me. I believe on the name of the Son of God. Now he wants me to know that I have eternal life.
Oh, yeah, but I have pain in my body. Eternal life in me will drive out the pain in my body. And so I speak to my body every day and say, thank you, Lord, because I have eternal life in me. Now, you pain, you have to go, because eternal life and pain don't dwell together. God did not give me pain. God gave me eternal life. Amen? And there is no pain inside eternal life. So pain, your time is up. My body's not available. Now, that's how to speak to your body. My body's not available. Body, eject the pain now in the name of Jesus. And do it every day. You have a growth in your body in a very embarrassing place. Speak to that growth. You have all kinds of reactions. Speak to the reaction. I have eternal life. I have eternal reaction. Get out. I didn't get eternal life. Reaction from God. Did you hear what I said? My mind is alert. I have serenity of mind. My mind is calm and I'm able to focus. Agitations, fear, worries, anxieties, all mental and emotional disorders are far from my mind. Glory to God. I have the mind of Christ. This church is born again. Come on, get on your feet tonight. Praise God. Woohoo! This is how to live every day. Live like this every day, man. This is heaven on earth. You are tasting heaven on earth. So when we get to heaven, we won't feel like strangers because we've had a foretaste. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Years of salvation, purchased of blood. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. There is no room for anxiety. Amen. Amen. No room for fear. Amen. Amen. Thank you, precious Father. Lift your hands and give him worship tonight. Father, we thank you. Woo! Shanda Bahaya. What a beautiful time in your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for teaching us the word of God. Thank you for feeding us with food convenient for us. Pain, be gone in the name of Jesus. Every discomfort in the bodies of God's children, online or on site, get out in the name of Jesus. Pain in the eye, go in the name of Jesus. Cataract, melt in the name of Jesus. Let there be clarity of vision. I speak to your brain tonight, and I speak to your mind tonight. Behold, in the name of Jesus. Peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking, nothing damaged. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, in the name of Jesus. Back pain be gone. Pain in the thigh be gone. Pain in the neck, be gone. Pain in the arms, be gone. Pain in the lower limbs, be gone. Get out, dematerialize. Dissipate, disappear. In the name of Jesus. Headaches, be gone. In the name of Jesus. Blood, be cleansed. Be clean. I say, be ye clean in the name of Jesus. Every blood condition aligned with the word of God. By his stripes we were healed. Because we were healed, we are healed right now. I say right now. In the name of Jesus. Liver, kidneys, now hear the word of the Lord, be made whole. Heart, lungs, pancreas, duodenum, receive the life of God. Because we have eternal life. Eternal life is eternal, forever and ever. Pain, you are temporary, get out. Discomfort, get out. We outlast and we outlive you. In the name of Jesus. For everyone struggling financially, let the windows of heaven be opened over you. Help will come for you. Help will come. Lord, two people said amen, help them. I said help is coming. Financial help is coming. In the time of famine, Isaac reaped 100-fold when he sowed in the same year. 100-fold for every good seed sown. I release the angel over this ministry to go into the field and bring us a bountiful harvest for every good seed sown in the name of Jesus. And we all are protected tonight as we go home. No assault of armed robbers, no assault of cultists, no assault of rapists, no assault of kidnappers, no assault of assassins in the name of Jesus. Because we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We will see if the Lord is our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in him we trust. Surely he shall deliver us from the snare of the fowlers and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover us with his feathers, and under his wings shall we trust. His truth shall be our shield and buckler. We shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord, who is our refuge, even the Most High, our habitation, there shall no evil befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. Armed robbers will not come near your dwelling. If they get on the street, they will not come to your dwelling. If they come to the campus, they will not come to your hostel. No evil will come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They shall bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against the stone. We shall tread upon the lion and upon the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall we trample under feet. Because we have set our love upon the Lord, therefore we lift us on high. Because we have known his name, we shall call upon him and he will answer us. He will be with us in trouble. He will deliver us and honor us. With long life will God satisfy us and show us his salvation in the name of Jesus. I release the blessings of Psalm 91 over everyone here tonight and everyone watching and listening online in the name of Jesus. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion of the precious Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each and every one of us now and forevermore. In Jesus' precious name, somebody shout amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Have you been blessed tonight? This is what we enjoy at Bible study. You know, this doesn't happen.